I'd like to begin by saying it's always my privilege to preach the Word of God first. It's always a privilege to preach the Word of God in our church, and I've always enjoyed that and appreciate it. And I hope that today, as we look at this passage concerning knowing the will of God, God has a will for each of us. We are to seek and to find that will. So this verse clarifies that as we look at verses from Colossians, the first chapter, beginning in verse 9. This passage is a prayer from the Apostle Paul that the people in the church at Colossae will understand and know the will of God for their lives. He begins by saying, "For this reason also, since the day we heard this, we haven't stopped praying for you. We're asking that you may be filled with the knowledge of His will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding, so that you may walk worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing to Him, bearing fruit in every good work and growing in the knowledge of God. May you be strengthened with all power according to His glorious might, for all endurance and patience, with joy, giving thanks to the Father, who has enabled you to share in the saints' inheritance in the light. He has rescued us from the domain of darkness and transferred us into the kingdom of His Son He loves, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins." This passage is written to the church concerning Paul's concern for them that they understand and know the will of God. In this introduction, there are two dimensions. First of all, that they might be filled with the knowledge of God and will, through spiritual wisdom and understanding, understand that will. Now, wisdom is the practical outwork of the knowledge of God. James describes wisdom as, "But the wisdom comes from heaven that is all pure and peace-loving, considerate, submissive, full of mercy and good fruit, impartial and sincere." This is wisdom as described by James. In addition, he talks about the knowledge of God that cannot be separated from the spiritual understanding and discernment of the Holy Spirit. So he is wanting us not only to know the will of God, but also to know God Himself more fully and completely. And that also that we apply the wisdom that we know in our lives. So as we talk about knowing the will of God, first of all, I want to point out and let us consider the need to define the will of God. What does it mean? Well, we might give it a theological definition by saying that that which is planned by deliberation and careful consideration by God. God has a plan, and He has made this plan very deliberate, and He has considered it very clearly that we might know it, His plan. Now, in the Old Testament, God's will is called His counsel. And in the verses that we read just a moment ago in the Psalm 33, in verse 11 it says, "The counsel of the Lord stands forever, the plans of His heart to all generations." God's plan, His counsel for us, this is found in the Old Testament. But also in Jeremiah, we find a very familiar verse. It says, "For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans to prosper you and not to harm you. Plans to give you hope and a future." God's plan. God has a plan for you. God has a plan for me. He has a plan for His church. And He wants us to know that plan. And we find that this involves also the dimension of God's wanting us to grow in the grace and knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. We find also that as we think about God's plan for us, as we want to define His plan, in the New Testament, we find that the plan of God has for us initially is found and involved our salvation. Notice what it says in 2 Peter when it talks about the Lord is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. Now it's the will of God that all people be saved. But that doesn't mean that all people are going to be saved. God has given people the freedom to choose. We either choose to accept Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior, or we choose to refuse to accept Him as Lord and Savior. And as we look at our world today, we discover that not all people are living according to the will of God. If all people today were living according to the will of God, all people would be saved. All people would be loving God first, and all people be worshiping God, and all people be loving one another, and there would be peace in our earth, there would be harmony in our earth. But we don't have that. But it is God's will that none should perish, but that all should come to repentance. We find also that God wills that we choose His Son, Jesus Christ, as our Lord and Savior. It says, for God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believed Him will not perish, but have eternal life. Trusting Him, this is God's call to salvation. But also, not only is there the call to salvation, there is the call to discipleship. Jesus said, if anyone wants to come after Me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow Me. That's Luke 9:23. After Peter and John came to know Jesus, after they had met Him and become acquainted with Him, He came along one day and saw them fishing, and He said, come after Me and I'll make you fishers of men. This was the call to discipleship. This was the call to take up their cross and follow Him. We are to take up our cross and follow Him. So we find, as we define what it means to do the will of God, first of all, we must answer the call and follow Him. And we must trust Jesus as our Lord and Savior. This is God's will for every Christian. So we need to discover that it's God's plan that we follow Him, that we let Jesus be our Lord and Savior. That's God's plan. That's His general plan for all Christians. The next point I want to make, and I think we need to consider, is the point of finding God's will. Now, the knowledge of God's will is not a secret. It's not a mystery that only a few discover. But God wants anyone to come, whosoever can choose to accept Jesus as Savior, can live and choose to do the will of God. It's not a secret. So He wants us to find it. How do we find the will of God? Well, I want to point out two ways. First of all, we can find the will of God through searching His Word. The Word of God, as we study the Bible, as we learn from it, we can understand and discover the will of God. Through studying the will of God, we can find that God has a general plan for all Christians, for all people. And if we can come to know that general plan by through studying the Word of God, then we're on the right track. We're on the right road to find the will of God specifically for your life and for my life. But we must begin through searching the will of God. Now, some people might feel, well, if God wants to do His will, He'll just reveal it very quickly, miraculously. But that's not all the way it always works. We discover that we can only find the will of God sometimes through searching, through praying, through struggling in prayer to find the will of God. But He does have a plan for you. He does have a plan for me. And so we do know that God has His plan. Now, we do know in the church that God has certain ones that He has chosen to do His will. In the book of Ephesians chapter 4, it says, it was Him who gave some to be apostles, some to be prophets, some to be evangelists, and some to be pastors and teachers. And notice, to prepare God's people for the work of the service, that the body of Christ may be built up. This is the purpose God has chosen. Now, we know in our church there are certain people that are called pastors and teachers and so forth. In our modern world, some call it the clergy, and then they have what they call the laity, the other people in the church. And sometimes we make too much differentiation between the two, when in fact, we're all a part of the body of Christ. We all as Christians have responsibility in that body, just as my body has many parts. And each part of my body has different responsibilities. I have hands, and I have feet, and I have eyes, and I have ears. And every one of these are parts of my body. And each one has a function. So in the church we have people that have different places and ministries in the church. Sometimes we call these the ministry of the church. Sometimes they call it the way of the church. There was a pastor told a story about he wanted to find out what the difference was between the pastors and the laity, or the other people of the church. And he asked this little girl if she could tell him the difference. And here's what she said. Said, "You as pastors are paid to be good. Everybody else is good for nothing. But there's not the difference. The difference is that we all work together. Some are called." Notice that word, some. Not all. But some are called. But they have a responsibility to the other parts of the ministry in the body of Christ as well, that they build them up, that they teach them, that they train them, that they disciple them, in order that the others might go out and be disciples as well. Now, while God's call is unique for some, it is universal for everyone. In a sense, all members and Christians are full-time workers for God. Someone has said, in a sense, all Christians are missionaries for God. They're ambassadors for Jesus Christ. Even though some perform distinctive duties and functions, there are people that are Christian farmers. There are people that are Christian business people. There are Christian nurses and Christian housewives. But all of us are full-time workers in the church, you see. We all are responsible to carry out the Great Commission. All responsible to Jesus and the teachings and the commandments of Christ. We are all responsible for those. And in order to find the will of God for our lives, we must begin there. Begin by responding and be obedient to the Word of God. Now, another way of finding and searching the will of God is, of course, I've already mentioned this, through prayer. Searching the Word of God, but through prayer. This is very important in order to understand the will of God. One of the great verses of the Bible concerning prayer is found in the 8th chapter of the book of Romans. Notice it says in verses 26, it says, "In the same way the Spirit also joins to help in our weakness, because we do not know how to pray as we should. But the Holy Spirit Himself intercedes for us with unspoken groanings. And He who searches the hearts knows the Spirit's mindset, because He intercedes for the saints," notice, "according to the will of God." Now, even Jesus taught us to pray Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Began by saying, Your kingdom come, Your will be done on earth as in heaven. This is a part of the prayer that we should pray. We should pray that God's will be done in our lives and on the earth. We should pray to understand and know the will of God for our lives. And it's through prayer that we can do this. Through praying in the Spirit. Now there's a difference in praying in the Spirit and praying in the flesh. Notice this, that for those who live lives according to the flesh think about things of the flesh. But those who live lives according to the Spirit are about the things of the Spirit. Now when we pray according to the flesh, we're praying selfish prayers. We're praying for our own needs, ourselves. But when we pray according to the Spirit, we're praying that God's will be done. And we pray that we will be a part of that will. That God will make His known will to us, but that we, as we pray, will do His will. Now we must pray specifically that God will lead each of us to know His will. We must pray also continuously. It's not something we do just once and say, Lord, I want to know Your will. What do You want me to do? And then amen, and that's it. That won't work. We have to keep on praying. Keep on searching. Keep on seeking through the Word of God. And praying according to God's will. Jesus left us the great example. When He prayed there in the garden, He said, Not my will, but Your will be done. But notice, when He left to pray that prayer, He told His apostles. He said, Watch and pray. Lest you enter into temptation. The Spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. You see, there's the problem. We pray many times according to the flesh instead of according to the Spirit. But when we pray according to the Spirit and we're really earnestly searching for the will of God in our lives, the Holy Spirit will make it known to us as we pray. Now the third thing I want us to notice this morning, the next point I want to make, is understanding God's will. Now we can know it, but do we really understand it? Now it's doubtful, with our human limitations, that we can understand the difference between sometimes God's circumstantial will for in our lives and also His what He intends in our lives. Many times, because of incidences that happen in our lives or decisions that we have made on our own in our lives, we have gone a certain direction. And maybe that direction is not the direction that God has really wanted us to go, but He has permitted us to make that decision. But that doesn't mean that we cannot understand God's intention for us. Because if we're obedient in the immediate point, and if right now we are obedient, we really want to know God's will, we can know it. And we can, in the circumstance and the direction that we're moving, we can pray, Lord, I want Your will to be known now in my life. And the immediate circumstance is, if we are obedient, if we are willing, then God will direct us toward that intentional will that He has for us, that perfect will that talks about in the Bible. So, we want to know the will of God, understand what it means. Now, I want to, first of all, if we're going to understand the will of God, we must understand, first of all, that we must answer the call. That's the first step, answer the call. Jesus said, if you want to come after me, if you want to be my disciple, deny yourself. Take up your cross and follow me. What He's saying there, stop praying in the flesh and start praying in the Spirit. Follow me. Take up your cross daily. He puts that daily. It's something continuous. And we discover that. And another thing we must do, we must accept that if we answer the call of God, then we are called upon to obey His commission. Whatever He commands us to do, He has commanded the church to go out and make disciples. He has also commanded them to teach those that have been made disciples to know everything that He has taught. We must understand that. We must obey the commission. But then that, as we honor His commission, we obey His commission, that involves what we call commitment. One of the greatest verses on commitment is found in Romans, the 12th chapter. And I want us to notice this in reference to the will of God. Therefore, brothers, by the mercies of God, I urge you to present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. This is your spiritual service of worship. Do not be conformed to this age, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, so that you may be able to discern what is good, pleasing, and perfect will of God. Finding the will of God, understanding the will of God, comes as a result of commitment. Our commitment to Him totally, that we might do our best. Whatever He tells us to do and presses us to do, that we do it. But it's a continuous process. I think the good example of this is the life of Paul himself. When Paul first answered the call of God, when he was met by Jesus Christ on the road to Damascus, he responded by saying, "What do you want me to do?" He was willing. He answered the call, and then he was led to go to the house of Ananias. And I want to read this, what Ananias told him. And I read this in what we call the Amplified Version, because it brings out the fact that we need to keep on daily following the Lord. It says, "The God of our fathers has destined and appointed you to become more progressively to know His will. That is, to perceive, to recognize, and make strongly and clearly, and become better and more intentionally doing His will." We are to progressively, continually do His will. And then as we follow Him day by day, God can day by day show us what He wants us to do. But if we're not willing to follow, we're not willing to answer that call and be obedient to the Great Commission and follow Him, then it will be difficult for us to understand the will of God for our life. But I think the most important thing is that we understand the cost. You know, sometimes people are not willing to pay the price. Not willing to cost. What does it say? If you want to come after me, take up your cross. Cross. Bear your cross. That's the cost of following the Lord. Sometimes that means death. When He says, present your body as a living sacrifice, He doesn't always want people to die for Him. He wants us all to live for Him and do His will. I think it's clearly inscribed in a testimony of a missionary named John Mills, who felt that he was called to go to Nigeria to be a missionary. And in his testimony he said, "God has called me to Nigeria. That was a time when this field was called the graveyard for missionaries." This is what he said. "I would rather go to Nigeria and die and not live out my first term of service and be in the center of God's will than live 70 years out of His will." There's the cost. He was willing to pay the price to go, even though he knew he might not live that long after he'd gone. He was presenting himself as a living sacrifice to the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, the final point I want to make today, as we come to understand and know the will of God for our lives, we need to consider doing His will. Now, knowledge is not something just to be accumulated. It's something to be used. As we know the knowledge of God's will, then we need to be willing to follow through. I want us to look back at this passage in Colossians to this phrase that it says, "so that you may walk worthy of the Lord, full pleasing to Him. You might walk, might live, might do His will as you follow Him. James put it in a practical way, be you doers of the word and not hearers only. If you want to make an application of your faith, then read the book instead of the book of James. James applies how we put our faith into practice. Not just to hear the word, but to do the word. And I think it's interesting. The word hearers in the Greek has the idea of the word audit, like auditing a class. Now, auditing students attend the class and listen to the lectures of the class, but they don't have to do any of the work. Consequently, they don't receive any credit for the course. But also, it uses the phrase delude themselves. Also, people who listen sometimes listen the wrong way, and they delude themselves. Now, people who listen to God's word but never obey it are spiritual auditors and delude themselves by thinking that's all they have to do is just hear the word. Now, that can be applied to a church. Sometimes people think that all they have to do is come to worship service and listen. And listen to the message, listen to the songs, but they don't have to do anything about it. That's not what the Word of God is saying. As we come together and we hear the Word of God, we hear it spoken, and then we should do something about it. We should be doers of the Word. We should apply the Word of God to our lives. And in order to do that, we must understand God's will, but then we need to do it. We might know what God's will is, but if we never get around to doing it, we won't accomplish anything but deceive ourselves. Now, in these last verses, they're important also to understanding the will of God. It talks about four things to walk worthy of the Lord. They must live a life worthy of the Lord. Now, Paul carried this idea a little farther when he says that we need to live our life worthy of the calling where you've been called. See, it begins with the call. And we hear the call, we answer the call, we follow the Lord, and then we live a life worthy of that call. That means being doers of what God has called us to do. And what's the result? They please God. That's what we want to do. We want to please God in our lives. The only way we can please God in our lives is by doing His will. And then we are to bear fruit in our works. And as a result, we will grow in the knowledge of God. We'll come to know Him better and better. The result of that, what it says, we'll be strengthened with power. We will have a great endurance and patience. And we will joyfully give thanks to God. Now, why should we be joyful? Well, just read these next verses. First of all, we should be joyful because we have received an inheritance of God's kingdom. We don't have to live eternity out of God's kingdom, but living eternity in God's kingdom. But also, we have been rescued from the domain of darkness. Think about it, darkness of sin. We've been rescued from the darkness of sin into the kingdom of the light of His Son. The opposite of darkness is light. The opposite of sin is everlasting life through Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. Jesus is that light. We're to follow Him. He is the King of the kingdom of Uzziah. But also we have received forgiveness of sin. Notice what Paul says to the Ephesians. He says, in Him we have redemption. Through His blood, the forgiveness of His sins, in accordance to the riches of His grace. That gives us something to shout about. That gives us something to be thankful for. And I want us now, I want to reread this passage, and I want you to hear it with the understanding of what you heard concerning finding and understanding the will of God for your life. He says, "We are asking that you may be filled with the knowledge of His will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding, so that you may walk worthy of the Lord, full pleasing to Him, bearing fruit in every good work and growing in the knowledge of God, may be strengthened with all power according to His glorious might, for all endurance and patience with joy, giving thanks to the Father who has enabled us to share in the saints an inheritance. He has rescued us from the domain of darkness and transferred us into the kingdom of His Son He loves, in whom we have redemption and the forgiveness of sins." You see, we're to be doers of His will and not just hearers only. Let's pray. Dear Lord, thank You that Your will for our lives is no secret. Lord, we thank You that You've made it real to us. You've fully explained it to us in Your Word. And Lord, we pray that as Christians, we might pray with You, not my will, but Your will be done in my life. I pray this in the name of Jesus, our Lord and Savior. Amen.
Thank you, Pastor Polnack. Let us...